Hello and welcome to the podcast industry. Before we get into the episode, I just want to tell you about Podgo. If you're listening to this episode, that means that you are interested in podcasting and probably have a show yourself. If you're looking to monetize your content and pay for your hosting fees and microphone costs, maybe even pay for a social campaign to bring awareness to your show, I want to tell you about Podgo, which is helping small podcasts monetize their content. Podgo is a membership-based platform that connects podcasters to advertising opportunities and immediately connects you with advertisers that fit your audience. Go to podgo.co, that's podgo.co, and apply today to find out how you can monetize your content. And now, let's start the show. To spring. Today I have another amazing guest. I'm joined by Ray Ortega, who's the host of the Podcasters Roundtable, and he's a professional podcast producer himself, and he's an amazing host, and he's just incredibly knowledgeable about podcasting. So he was great to have on the show to talk about what's happening in the industry, and it's really interesting to hear his take on, you know, what the secret sauce is to make a podcast successful. So without further ado, here's my interview with Ray. Thanks so much for taking the time, Ray. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, man. Sure, of course.
We're not on the round table. It's just a Zoom. But once again, thanks for taking the time. For those of you who don't know Ray Ortega, he is the, founder of the Podcaster Studio? What title have you given yourself?
Sure. I think that it's just podcaster, right? I think most people who start a podcast and then if they get any kind of recognition, then suddenly you have to have a title. But most of the time, it's just one person, right? So no one's underneath me. No one's in charge except me. So I'm just Ray Podcaster.
Yeah. So you host two podcasts, the Podcaster Studio and Podcasters Roundtable. How do you decide what topics to cover on each show?
It's really, they're just different in that the Podcaster Studio started off as a how-to, or it really is a how-to podcast. So it's just mostly me. I'll do some interviews with other experts, but mostly it's me having something to teach about podcasting. Whereas the roundtable is a discussion with podcasters, right? So we do go into topics, anything that's newsworthy or anything that a podcaster would encounter during their time as a podcaster producing a podcast, we talk about those things. So really the topics are more generated by the people who are on the roundtable than even myself. And it didn't even really start off. I didn't even really want to have topics, but you do sort of need topics or stories to talk about to have some type of format. Otherwise it's just, you know, it's not very structured, and it's hard to do episode 5, 6, and 20. But when you get into hundreds, you start to need a little focus. And if you want to be found, there's some marketing tips in there. You don't want to just be talking about whatever you want to talk about when you open up the mic. But so that's kind of how the two are different.
Yeah, I feel like every podcaster wants to know what gear they should use and what marketing tips to increase their audience. You have a lot of amazing resources for podcasters to find just that on your website, but a lot of it's geared towards the gears.
That's right.
But when people ask you, you know, what should I use? What should I do at home? Should I be recording in my closet now that everybody has a at-home studio? What's your biggest advice for what gear and what equipment a podcaster should use?
Yeah, when it comes to gear and equipment, I've always told people to reach out to me before they buy anything, because every single situation is different. Like, we're recording this on Zoom. I think it's an audio only show, but I can see you right now, and I see you have like a Yeti in front of you, right? And so I wouldn't tell everyone to get that microphone because their setup might not allow for it. So when I'm hearing from you, it's fairly quiet in there, right? And it's a condenser microphone. So it's gonna work in your situation. In another situation, if someone's got kids in the background or something, they might need a dynamic microphone. So there's no like generic advice I can give anybody other than invest a little bit into it. You're going to put all this time into your podcast. try not to cheap out on the things that are literally going to be kind of your only point of contact with your audience, which for an audio only show is your microphone and the stuff you're recording into. So a little upfront investment, because you're going to spend so much of your life working on this thing, more than you even think when you start. It's worth it. So even though a simple USB microphone, it does not have to be expensive. There are several brands now that do USB dynamic microphones even, and they sound fantastic. So it's not a real barrier to entry as far as budget goes. It used to be a little harder because you needed things like, you know, a more traditional microphone and a mixer or an audio interface. You needed more things. Yeah. You don't these days. So, but always, what are you doing? What is the environment you're doing it in, right? You could be out in public doing a podcast, and then your situation might be different there as well. So yeah, it's not really an answer. Dig in at the Podcaster Studio. We talk about the differences on some of these things, but you can always reach out to me and say, hey, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. I'd probably ask you a few questions, and then I'd say, hey, here's a couple ideas.
Yeah, we found, talking about the time limit that you brought up, I mean, definitely more people think they're not going to spend an hour or so, but we found that Podio members spend on average 5 hours researching, recording, and editing their show. And especially when you're doing that on a per-week basis, it adds up. And, you know, Podio's here to help you monetize a little bit from it, you know, really cover your costs. Our members on average get about 400 listens per episode. But I think that's definitely a misconception of how much time goes into not only learning how to record an episode, but also learning how to edit your podcast. Like, unless you have a big budget and are outsourcing it, most people are going to do all the work themselves. Like you said, it's a team of one.
Yeah. And there's all levels of effort, right? So could you do a podcast in 10 minutes and be done? Probably, right? You could pull up an app, hit record, say what you want to say, and post it. But that's, you know, there's a quality that should be probably given to your podcast, or a standard you should set. If you listen to other podcasts, I mean, you're probably not going to grow as big as you could be if you were curating it into more of a show, right? You've got an intro, you have a purpose, you might have a guest, you have an outro, you have topics, as opposed to just, you know, there's more of social audio, I would say. If you want to jump on, share a clip on, you know, social, that's kind of where that would live. But yeah, I mean, the recording part is literally just, it's probably the smallest part of the process, right? If you have a half hour of content, and this depends on how picky you are when you're recording. Some people will start an intro, start it over, they'll start the middle part, you know, they'll find all these errors and they'll just keep doing things over. Or do you just have a discussion and that's it? But yeah, it's planning, it's writing the show notes, it's putting it on your website, it's editing. I mean, it's just marketing. It just never stops. And if you are on that once a week schedule, which I wouldn't necessarily, at least I wouldn't say to start that way. I wouldn't say to tell people that, like, we'll see you next week. That once a week really comes back around so fast. And so, you know, once every 2 weeks is actually, I've seen a lot of success with a podcast that comes out once every 2 weeks. As a listener, I would love you to be there every week. But if you do that sort of, you know, sort of under promise, over deliver type thing, and then you can grow into it. Then you're like, okay, I do have the bandwidth to be here once a week. Then you can bump it up, right? But once you set that expectation for your audience, like me, I'm going to be real sad when you're not there every week when I love your show. So, you know, maybe start off without pressuring yourself too much, because you really need to find out how much time this thing really is going to take you.
Yeah, and I think as a listener, I would prefer higher quality, less quantity. Yeah. Like, don't make me waste my time listening to a show that you're like, yeah, it's not the best, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, when we had your co-host, Dave Jackson, on, his number one advice for podcasters was to know your why. Why are you creating a podcast? Are you doing it to, you know, further your content, like as a sponsor, as a company? You know, we're putting out content to maybe talk to our members and talk to prospective members about Podio and podcasting in general. Or are you doing it as fun? I think on one of the roundtables, I don't know if it was you or one of the guests, you talked about how podcasting is a little bit selfish. a little bit selfish because you're kind of doing it for yourself.
I mean, it should be selfish. I say that because you should be starting for reasons that are mostly about you, because the only way you're going to keep going is if you're interested, if you are having fun. Once that stops, I mean, and you know, at that point, I mean, you could, right? If you're growing into sponsors, if you're now beholden to someone else or there's income and you start to not enjoy it, then you're stuck in a job you hate, right? So that's no good. So be selfish. Talk about the things you want to talk about. Doesn't mean you can't figure out what the audience wants, right? And I'm saying, you know, you might want to talk about 20 different things, but then you find out that the audience is really keying into these three things. And, you know, there's some compromise to be made there. You can move an audience through different topics. So yeah, it has to be about you in the beginning. And most people start a podcast because they want to. So it is about
you. Yeah. And I think that it's tough. You know, Spotify announced that they have over 2 million podcasts on the platform. More podcasts are getting created every day. You talked about the barriers to entry are pretty low. And the only way to really get heard, not only to have a high quality show where you're actually telling a good story or, you know, speaking to your audience, but it's also to enjoy it. I think that that authenticity comes out in the show. Like, you're excited about it. You want to talk about it. It really comes out on the other end, and the listeners respond to it. You know, they'll share it with their friends. I found that a lot of podcasts on Podgo that have a small listenership are just as good, very well produced, have amazing audio, but I see the metrics. They only have a few hundred listeners. It's so hard to stand out as a small indie creator right now. Do you see a lot of people coming up to you for help and saying, like, hey, we have this amazing show, but we don't know how to promote it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, any episode we do on a roundtable, which I think you mentioned, in marketing is always one of the most requested or the thing that people are interested in the most, right? It is the gear and the how do I get more listeners, right? And I don't have any magic solutions, because in podcasting, it really isn't magic. And, you know, about that being selfish and the other people under, you know, your listeners really getting into it with you, it's because you are them and they are you, right? They connecting because you both love this topic, right? And that's one reason why being focused is so important, because then you can actually find the people, and vice versa, they can find you, that you're trying to reach. And that's one of the ways to do it. So the content has to be great. And then, so the content can be great, but you're not reaching those people, right? And you do that through focus, which means maybe this episode is about one very specific topic. Maybe it's two topics. You know, we could probably even focus the roundtable even more. I wouldn't say it's really my goal to, I'm not trying to grow into anything. I'm just trying to reach the people who want to be reached. And that's people who produce podcasts. It's very niche on its surface, right? So
yeah,
being focused, having that content be great, and then having, you know, making sure that tech doesn't get in the way, right? So it sounds good when someone's there. So when someone listens to another podcast, because people don't just listen to typically one podcast. And a lot of times they're probably listening to something that comes out of a big studio, like an NPR or something. You know, you can easily sound that good. There should be no sort of jarring shift between one of their shows and one of your shows, because some basic techniques, what we're doing right now, will make everything sound great, right? So titles, there's some optimization you can do, right? Like like I said, if you're being focused, you know, your topics of your episodes are key, because a lot of times people aren't going to find you because of the title of your show, or not going to find your show at all, but they might find an episode. And then, of course, you know, getting people, word of mouth is always the big one. So getting people who are also interested in those topics to post it to people they know who are also interested in those topics is key, because that's, you know, you could word to 100 people who don't, kind of vaguely interested in the topic, and you might not get anyone, but you could tell 4 people who you know also love this topic, and now you have 2 new subscribers, which is huge, right? Like, 1 subscriber is huge, because that's the hardest thing to find. And then there's some paid options, you know, the apps. Well, and yeah, Overcast is a really great option. That seems to be the most effective way. So if people were asking me, they're like, how do I get more listeners that are actually just not like trying it on Twitter and going away or clicking and never really listening? that advertising on Overcast, not sponsored by the way, but
yeah, not sponsored.
That's been the single most effective thing that I have done in all the years of podcasting. Got to have a little budget, but yeah, it works. It works, right? So if people are just, you know, if you want the answer, that's the answer because it just works. Otherwise, you are going to have to just put in that extra work of being in all the places where the audience who would enjoy your show, you, where you're hanging out, you have to hang out there and not spam about your podcast. You're just in the community. By being in the community, people will learn who you are and they'll learn, you know, by proxy, they'll learn what your podcast is.
Yeah, we just created a Discord for Podgo members where people can trade promo swaps. Yeah. And this way you can go into the text channel for sports or true crime and you can talk to different members and guest star or trade promo swaps. So we're trying to help our members as well get discovered by other audiences.
I'm just being on someone, you know, yeah, working with other podcasters. You know, people are afraid of competition and this comes from old, I think maybe the radio or just other media formats. But
yeah,
if you learn, I mean, the Podcasters Roundtable is, you mentioned Dave Jackson. He has a podcast about podcasting. Daniel J. Lewis, also podcast about podcasting. And we just came together because we were friends. And that's what the show is. It's friends talking with friends, podcasters talking with podcasters. If you're a podcaster, you're kind of a friend because you speak the same language. And so, you know, people think, oh my gosh, you know, aren't you worried that they're going to listen to your podcast or go to Daniel's? And it's like, no, not at all. Like, you're going to grow far more from that exposure than you ever would of losing people. Like, yes, some people are going to go listen to Daniel when they find out about him because they didn't know about him before and maybe stop listening to my show and vice versa. But like, when you have three people who have audiences telling other people there's a show that exists or just saying, check out this episode, that's going to be way more advantageous to you. And so when you're on other shows in your niche, if you have something to offer them, you know, you could reach out or they may reach out to you. That's huge, right? Because now you're suddenly in front of an audience that would listen to your show hearing from you. It's a chance for them to sample kind of what you're going to give in your podcast. And yeah, I always relate it to this hit song theory that like people don't hear a new song that they love and then
stop listening to music. That's funny. Yeah.
I don't really have time for that, right? Like I love that song, but I don't have time. If they find your podcast and they love the topic, they're going to listen to that one as well.
Yeah, most listeners, a lot of data has been reported on this, listen to like an average of 7 shows. So it makes sense. You know, if you find something that you like, they'll listen. Even though podcasting is crowded, but I wanted to ask you, you know, think about when you started podcasting, what has been the biggest surprise to you to see this kind of, and I don't want to say it's a mature industry, because podcasting obviously is still growing, but what has been the biggest, you know, impact you think has on podcasting in the last decade or so?
I don't know if anything has been necessarily surprising because it all seems like it has worked out the way we kind of saw it working out in the beginning, which was slow but steady growth.
Yeah.
And, you know, as someone who loves podcasts, it's obvious to you that when someone new finds podcasts, if they find the right topic, they're going to love it because, I mean, you read blogs, you watch YouTube channels, you listen to radio shows, watch movies, whatever it is that around your interest.
Yeah.
And now you have someone really talking to you because hopefully, you know, you found something in a niche that really fits your interest. So maybe to me is just how many, surprising a little bit, is how many people there are looking for content that is hyper niche. So I also work in podcasting. I produce for an organization and, you know, we do some very hyper-focused science. And we have people who are just, they kind of have science as a hobby. Like they might be a truck driver or a police officer, not related at all. And so this massive amount of people who tune into this very niche show that you would have assumed have no interest, they're there, right? So you will be surprised by who's listening, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, going away a little bit from podcasting, but, you know, this is kind of a dream job for so many people. And I just wanted to talk about how you got into podcasting. Something I didn't know until I did a little research for this episode. I didn't know that law enforcement was your first career. You know, for people that are trying to do a little more than just start a podcast, but really get into the industry. You know, it's changed a little bit. But what do you see as kind of the typical roles that people are getting into the industry nowadays, whether it's coming in from a different side of the of marketing or whatever, or just coming out of college as well?
Nowadays, I mean, it's kind of like if you have skills, it's like, where do those fit in?
Yeah.
Still, because it is a new occupation, I would say, you know, radio's hiring for radio all the time, but podcasting is unique. It has its own language and skill sets. And sometimes if you are, if you think you have the skill set that, you know, whether it's editing, whether it's producing. So I always used to say podcast producer, but that means something different these days. That's more like running a show, right? So there are so many things that people need. So I'm talking about people who would hire for jobs that go into the production of a podcast. We talked about here how you're one person doing marketing, editing, producing. You're doing all of these things. You're the talent. Well, that's all broken out when you go to an organization, right? Yeah. And so you may have a skill set that you can sell, almost sell to a company. Like, again, because it's new, you may see a job opening. They have pod. There's a couple online podcast, like sort of job boards. You may qualify for those, right? So in the beginning when I was doing it, you know, I was just making a podcast to make a podcast. And what I didn't realize was that I was really teaching myself this whole set of skills that is really monetizable. And I didn't realize that I was, that this was a job that I could have. It just something, it sort of happened. And it's totally a dream job. So I think there's so many ways into podcasting these days. And as more organizations come online and know that they'd say, oh, we need to have a podcast for whatever reason, is more opportunity there. So it really is kind of open.
So one question I like to ask all my guests is, what podcasts are you listening to nowadays?
Oh man, it would probably be scary if I said I don't really listen to podcasts, but that's not really true. I listen to a show called Pod Save America and a couple other Crooked Media shows. And I used to listen to a lot of podcasts about podcasting because I love the topic. I would say
did your podcast consumption go down during the pandemic?
I would not say so. I didn't commute. I work from home, so that didn't affect anything. So my time that I built in for listening to podcasts still exists. And so I have to have the one or two shows that I listen to, like don't miss an episode of. My favorite recent podcast was called The Recapables, and it was about Westworld. But when the season's over, there's no podcast, and I'm
so
dying.
I was listening to the Recapables too. I always like listening to the Recapables because I always miss so much in TV shows now, especially like Westworld, and where they have so many clues and Easter eggs. I had to listen to the podcast to understand what happened.
You can't. Here's the funny thing. I don't even sure which one I like more. Okay, because I love the show. I obviously listen to the podcast because I love the show. And then I loved that podcast so much that I wasn't sure which one I was looking forward to more. Because with shows like that, and you see that a lot these days, you need a scorecard to keep up and also put the pieces together. I'm just like, I'm not that smart. Like, they're putting pieces together I would have never got. So when you have that synergy of someone else like adding that much value to the show you already love, oh man, it's beautiful. And now, you know, kind of the joke is like, if you want an audience fast, start a TV fan podcast because you have this built-in raving audience and people are going to find you because they're typing in that TV show into other search engines like Apple. So definitely a good way to do a podcast because you're also usually pretty passionate about it. I would not say start watching a show to start a podcast. Like, you should probably watch that show because you love it. But as we kind of talked about before, being selfish. But yeah, man, that show was the best, and I hope it comes back soon.
I think the future of media is going to be that those podcasts are also going to be built into whoever's creating that show. So if you're an NBC or CBS or HBO, you're going to create that podcast as well, versus right now you're seeing other platforms create podcasts about different shows. So I think
I would disagree a little bit. I would say, here's what I would say. A, that already exists, right? These shows, all, most of these shows like Walking Dead, they have the official podcast for their show, right?
Yeah.
But those only, don't only do as well.
Only a few of them, not all of them.
But they don't do as well. And the reason is because they're typically held back by what they can say.
You're
and
right. Sometimes they have to go with the party line. They can't just they can't bash a show. Yeah.
Yeah. And either bash or theorize as much because they know like there's a lot of limitations. So when you find a super fan who's going to dig into Reddit for you and come out with all the clues when it's powered by the fans, like there is something I think even more powerful about that. Sure. Yeah. Will all these media companies have an official podcast? Yes. But I think the fan podcast, when done really well, still wins.
You know what? I'm going to revise my statement. I think you're right. I think you're right with that one. you convinced
That's not original. I'm sure someone said that on the round table and I'm just taking it. But but when you hear it, you think, oh yeah, right? Like, you know, and the advantage that those shows have, the advantage at which you should take full advantage of if you are getting into podcasting, if you're in podcasting and you have special access to someone or something that most people do not, that's your special give. That's what will make you stand out and what people will be attracted. That's why they'll listen to your show, right? So in that case of a media company that has a show, they can give you all the actors, all the directors. Yeah. They're very limited in what they can say a lot of times, but another podcast might not get that access. What I would also say though, as a fan, ask all those people because you'll be blown away by who will say yes to come onto your show. I'm sure with podcasting being so big these days, like celebrities get asked all the time, but there are so many people on the production of a show. Like I want to talk to the sound person, right? I want to talk to the set dresser, all of them. And if you have, I mean, that is also something that
the official podcast
might not give you. They might not give that to you, right? Because they're going to give you the A-list actor or something. So that's how you quote unquote, that's how you win here, because fill in the pieces. If there is an official podcast for a show you love, what are they not doing that you as a fan want? Do that on your show.
No, that's great advice. So where can any listener find you? Where can they find more of your stuff?
RayOrtega.com has like everything I do. So whether it's YouTube or another podcast that I start, it's sort of the catch-all. But you know, if you're a podcaster listening to this, which is probably a thing that happens, you probably are, Podcasters Roundtable is a great way to join us. It's also, you know, I was telling you, you should be on the roundtable, right? And more people learn about PodGo. And we just talk about stories. We literally talk about the things that you're dealing with every day as a podcast producer. I say that as someone who does all the things. And yeah, come have fun with us.
Yeah, well, once again, thanks so much for the time, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Awesome. Good luck. Talk soon.
Thank you so much to Ray for joining us, and thank you for listening today. Please subscribe, or now that Apple's changed the term, please follow us wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to subscribe as well. As always, if you are a podcaster and you're looking to monetize your content, head over to podgo.co. That's podgo.co. I have a lot of exciting new content coming out. And if you have any questions, you know, feel free to reach us on social media. And I look forward to seeing you next time.